Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
No, not too much. How are you guys? Good weekend?
Yeah, we survived. Yeah,
we slept.
We had a we recovered, put it that way, to the point that the gentleman beside me may be starting a new career part-time.
Really? What do we got?
Tomorrow I'm starting my teaching career.
Really? What? Which subject are we teaching?
Floor hockey.
It's a career builder.
No, what's
what did you think I would be teaching?
Well, I don't know. You said you were teaching. I thought maybe you had like some inspiration that, you know, like I don't know.
Poetry, English lit.
Nah. Yeah.
The inspiration was I was told I'm doing it and I'm doing it.
Oh, there you go. You'll be outstanding at it.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Eastbound and Down?
Oh yeah.
Kenny Powers.
Kenny, absolutely.
Can you not picture the O-Dog in a tight tuck with a powder blue Adidas pants and a white pair of New Balance shoes?
What is the game when we were growing up with the kind of the red balls and you throw them at each
other? Dodgeball.
It used to be like murder ball, but you can't. Can you say? Can't
no, I don't
say
think
that
you're allowed
anymore,
to say that
right?
anymore.
Like it's dodgeball.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you should warm up with. A little dodgeball. Get the feet moving. And
toughen
stuff
those
like.
Kids up, man.
I think I
and
should
then,
warm up with
I
a
think
beep
you
test.
Do, oh, I think you should. And then right when you guys start playing, put a big curve in your stick. Just rifle it over some little guy's, you know, shoulder and say, "Oh yeah, sorry about that."
Set up one timers from
you
the top
the
of the circle.
Remember those plastic sticks? You could put just healers
oh, yeah.
on them, like
just an Ovechkin curve.
That'll. I'm telling you. I don't know. I'm concerned. At least there is going to be supervision. Ray, Jerry D is going to help him out.
So this is a good thing?
I think or, it's a good thing.
I'm just, the only concern I have is not for the kids. What if Ol pulls a hammy?
I will not be moving 4 feet.
Okay, then your hammy's fine.
I'm more wondering how Jerry D got roped into this.
Yeah.
And what he's saying to his wife right now about how he's going to get out of it.
We talked about this weeks ago. I'm like, can you help me out? He's like, I'll help you out.
Why would Jerry D want to be
because we're
teaching
buddies,
gym?
He's like, he's helping
I get
me out.
That. But, well, all right, we'll see. Can you document this? We need video. And you got to blur out the kids. We don't want to be seeing the kids.
No,
but
there'll be no kids. It'll just be me and Jerry.
Okay. Anyway. We got a big one tomorrow night in St. Louis. How about the Blues? I mean, this is a team that was, they were dead in the water 2 months ago, and now they're comfortably into a playoff spot. This is wild.
What a stretch they're on. I mean, like, it's funny, though. Once they quieted the noise around their goalie,
yeah,
it seemed like everything sort of settled in. You know, and it, I mean, Binnington is, you know, was a, it seemed like almost like a last ditch. Okay, we got to call somebody up. We got an injury, and let's get him up here. And then he's been almost unbeatable. But in that time, it seems like Jake Allen has started to play a little bit too. And when Allen goes in the other night, he gets a shutout as well. But the goalie quiets things down. The noise quiets down. Their best players kind of awaken from this season-long slumber they had. You know, Petrangelo is really good,
yeah.
But he hadn't played very well. Tarasenko is awesome, but he hadn't played very well. They moved Shen to the wing. That line has been unreal with O'Reilly. He's been their best player all year, and I don't know, right now they're rolling people now. They don't give up anything. They score three or four a night. What's that, 10 straight now?
Yeah, we were talking about it, and without the obvious, I mean, O advocates, and I agree, that a guy like John Cooper should be up for Coach of the Year. But would Craig Berube's name have to be bandied about if they continue on? I mean, this is a team that was, if not dead last, close to dead last in the National Hockey League, not 2 months ago.
Well, I would say yes, except, you know, Barry Trotz has to be right at the very top. Cooper has to be at the very top. If Montreal makes the playoffs, does Claude Julien have to be involved? Probably, because I don't think anybody had them picked. Not very many people would have had them picked for a playoff spot.
Billy Peters. What,
Bill Peters in Calgary, Berube now too. Don't forget, like when he took over, it's not like this was like this magic change and all of a sudden everybody was like, hey, this is awesome. They didn't play very well under Berube for a while either.
Yeah.
And it took them some time to sort some things out, but he's a extremely popular guy, as you guys know. Like, he's a guys love playing for him. He's not a super technical guy. He lets his assistants handle a lot of that. But what he is he's got a way to make people believe their role is super important. And he starts to get more and more out of guys all up and down his roster. My son played for him in the American League, and he thought Berube was awesome. He's like, this guy is a fantastic coach. He's an amazing guy, and their team loved playing for him.
I don't think we've ever mentioned the name Robbie Schrempf on this show, but he's coming up now because of his Twitter account, and the NHL and NBC posted a tweet about the Barry Trotz effect. It really had nothing to do with Tavares, although I guess he was involved in the post. And Trotz, as we just mentioned, I mean, he's a guy, I think he'd win the Coach of the Year if it was up today. He's done an exceptional job. The Islanders have been a great, great story. But after the post, Rob Schrempf, who played in the NHL for a bit, he didn't play long. And I guess, you know, he played with Tavares and he knows Tavares a little bit. He tweeted out, quote, the ultimate I did my job kind of superstar. He wins, speaking of Tavares, he wins when he goes to play for his country, as they're loaded with players mostly equal or better. Other than that, he just collects his points in his awards. It's a pretty significant shot at the character of John Tavares.
But when you're on brutal teams for so long, and you're the guy that gets questioned, and you're the superstar, you're the guy that makes the money, and you're basically the only guy that performs every year, what the hell are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do?
I dug
there's
into
no wins
that.
Coming. There's no playoff series wins because your team is garbage. They never supported him, and he's looked at as the captain and the savior every year. How the hell are you supposed to approach it? Great players, they have to be a little bit selfish, but with those garbage teams they had in Long Island, I'm not sure what he's supposed to do.
I dug into it a little bit deeper, and Ray will let you chime in too. It sounds like there was a conversation or an interview about Josh Hosang, and Tavares had some comments about Schrempf, because Schrempf later in his Twitter conversations and replies with people said, you know, this is just me voicing that I didn't like what JT had to say about me. You know, I thought it was a gutless comment or something, and now I'm allowed to voice my opinion. So it sounds
like... It's a personal vendetta.
Yeah, it's a total
doesn't
personal...
Doesn't like him personally.
It's a total personal thing.
Okay.
That's it. I read into that.
What did you make of it?
Well, I hadn't heard about it, but yeah, that is relatively a strong opinion for sure. But, like, there's... I don't know that a star can have less impact on his team's general their general success less than in hockey. Like, you can be an amazing player. You're on the ice a third of the game at the most if you're a forward. That's a lot of time for things to go wrong. And so what the hell else are you going to do? You can't play goal. You know, the Islanders were dodging around goalies forever. You can't make your defense better. You can't make the second line better or the third line because you're already sitting on the bench. And so I would say stars, or it's part of the, maybe it's part of their territory. You're going to get kicked in the shins if the team doesn't do well. Everybody's going to fawn over you if you do bring success to your, or help bring success to your team. I was there the night they won their first playoff series, when Tavares scored in double overtime against Luongo against Florida. That was their first playoff win since I played in 93. And nobody was talking about what a bad guy Tavares was then. Nobody was questioning whether he was doing enough to help his team win then. Now, in 10 days, that's going to be an absolute circus in there for his return there. We're doing the game. I'm looking forward to it because I haven't been back to Long Island in a while, and I'm more looking forward to it just to see how he'll be received there. But I don't know that you can pin a franchise's success or failure on one guy. It's not the NBA. It's not a quarterback determines so much more than what a centerman can in football. You know, it's just not the same.
Well, talk to Connor McDavid about that. I mean, he's unanimously accepted or close to it as the best player in the world, and he's on the fourth worst team in the league. based on the standards.
Think his teammates are like, oh, this guy, all he cares, what is he supposed to do?
Well, and another thing
so
that,
bad.
That you realize here, Schremp, you know, he has, Robbie Schremp had experience with Tavares, but it was when Tavares was a rookie and a second-year player.
Yeah.
Like, Schremp played on the island in 09-10 and 10-11. That was when Tavares was a rookie and a second-year player. So what do you expect out of an 18-year-old?
I think there's context to it.
It's clearly a personal thing.
It was, and that's why I didn't really take too much of it that serious, because everyone has their own opinion about, you know, an interaction with somebody and that. Clearly, that's not what John Tavares is like at 28 years old, even if he was if he was 5% like that at 18 and 19.
But also, the suggestion is to link it to the NHL on NBC, them pumping the tires of Trotz. Schremp, I think, is making the case that, you know, it's not as much Trotz being there, it's that Tavares is out. You know, that's what it kind of feels like to me, which I think is completely ridiculous. You're telling me the Islanders wouldn't be a better team today with John Tavares? I mean, who actually believes that?
Well, as far as the impact, a coach can change the entire system and the way they play. A player cannot. The Islanders led the league in goals against last year. They're first this year. Whether John was there or not, he wasn't going to have that kind of impact on their team. No chance.
I agree. And you had a couple players that... You know, I don't want to say shrewd moves, but who would have thought that Robin Lehner was going to play? Robin Lehner's been outstanding this year, and it's a great story because, you know, he came out in the Players' Tribune and you know, he's had some struggles. He's had some addiction issues, and seems like he's got his life in order, and it goes hand in hand.
That's the biggest change.
Yeah.
You get goaltending all of a sudden at a top clip, guess what? You're going to win a lot of games.
No kidding.
Talk to St. Louis.
Yeah. How has St. Louis been farting around with their goaltending for so long? I mean, are you kidding me?
Noodles, did you do Islander games last year or the last couple of years?
Yes, I did a couple,
I've done a few. It was like they're all over the place. They're exciting and fun, and they give up lots of goals, and they score lots of goals, and...
Well, wears on you. It wore on you. I mean, Halak was there, and Greiss, who I like, but there was no. They never had a one. They never. I mean, most organizations, when you look at it, there's about 8 to 10 that have a clear cut one. Everyone else is trying to do it by tandem, and those tandem ones, if the tandem's no good, or they're struggling, or the team doesn't play defense in front of them, then those tandems get chewed alive, and that's what's happened with the Islanders.
But also, Greiss and last year, Halak, they're facing, I would like to know, I don't have it in front of me, but how many times they faced 35 to 45 shots? How many times did they get 15 to 18 high-danger chances? As opposed to this year, how many of each would Robin Lehner have faced? And guaranteed the answer is well under half. Guaranteed.
Yeah, I was.
And he's been fantastic and deserves a bucket load of credit. But that team doesn't give up anywhere near what they used to give up.
I agree. I was talking to somebody with some goaltender analytics this morning and said that the Islanders are a team that does not give up a lot of high quality chances from, you know, the high danger area. Lehner is, you know, averaging sometimes five or less in a game, which is impressive.
If that is the case, if that's the coaching, then why bringing it back to Toronto and their issues and how much they might give up? Why can't Babcock do the same? Like, why can Trotz get those guys
personnel too? You know, like some guys.
But it's not like they're
coaching though. That always comes down to coaching. You can't get the guys to play a certain way. That's coaching, regardless if it's a skill guy or some grinder.
But you know, I'll.
And I'm not just talking Babcock. It can apply to any coach or any team that gives up a lot of chances.
You have to have the commitment to play that way from everyone, not just, you know, 75% of them.
The personnel, I would say, probably leads itself better to playing a tighter, lockdown-ish, if you will, style in New York than it does in Toronto.
Like, right. Yeah.
In Toronto, you got those horses, and you're gonna handcuff them a little bit. I don't know if that's really the way to go. That doesn't seem to be the way that their team is built and the way that they're going to ultimately fail or succeed. With New York, it's going to be they're going to defend. They're going to give up less than they, you know, they're going to give up less than they have in the past, and they're going to score enough. Here's another thing. When they started accumulating players in the summer, like, I don't know, was anybody really excited about the reunion of Cizikas and Matt Martin and Clutterbuck? I'd say no, except, man, they've been amazing. Cizikas has got 15 goals.
Yeah.
Maybe it just fits, right?
Yeah, everything's worked out. You know, in terms of the personnel and how you play, I was a bit surprised that Matthews' post-game comment on Saturday didn't blow up.
Yeah, I thought about that too.
Yeah, like, let me read it, because I have it in front of me here. He was asked about the difficulty of generating offense Saturday night in Arizona. And Matthew said, quote, I think they had their game plan and we had ours and we kind of just played right into theirs. They just sat back and let us kind of beat ourselves and make our mistakes, and they were coming back the other way. This is where it gets juicy. Quote, I think we could have made a lot of adjustments in game. We just kind of kept doing the same thing over and over again. Yeah. Like, is that a shot at the players or on,
no, the coach?
On the coach?
Hmm. I don't know. That doesn't.
That's,
I mean,
a pretty decent shot.
I thought it was the players, personally, because yeah, the players have to adapt during the game. If the wall's being shut down, you got to find another route. To me, and I thought he also said that they didn't play smart. And to me, that's a shot at themselves.
And he said they outworked them,
right,
and all that.
Like,
yeah,
I,
see,
but I thought about, could there be a slight backhand at the coach not throwing the blender around? But I thought he did have the blender out that night.
In the third period.
Yeah.
I think Matthews is too smart, even though he's just a youngster, to make a comment like that as a backhanded slap at the coach.
Right.
I can't imagine that's really what his thought was. You're right, it kind of stirs the hornet's nest up a little bit, but I'll disagree with him. I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch it very closely or not. Arizona didn't sit back. I was like, man, these guys are like, they're all over the place. Like, they're fast.
Yeah.
They forechecked hard. Their penalty killing smothered them. It didn't seem like a passive counterpunch team to me. Hell, if they sat back, where was the puck? Because Toronto had 10 shots after two periods.
Right.
Yeah, that's the one thing I remember saying to Steph. I'm like, they are not intimidated by that power play at all. If anything, they're like, to hell with this. If we're going to go down, we're going down swinging.
Well, and Vegas was doing that too. Now, the Leafs got a couple, but yeah, Vegas had a breakaway, a couple of
opportunities.
Like, that's, the book is out on the Leafs. You force, like, be as
now,
aggressive as possible.
Before they had the Ranger game where they had the 23 shots or whatever, I forget who they played the night before.
Montreal.
Montreal's penalty killing smothered those guys. They were up the ice. I think Toronto actually got one on the power play that night, but they forced them back behind their net. I'm like, that's probably the way, like Noodle said, you know, the hell with it, we're just going to go at it. That's probably the way you have to kill against them, because if you let them get set up and organized, I think eventually they pick you apart.
Yeah.
It is it's the ones that are aggressive and with speed. I know from playing on the power play, oh, you must have too, but I hated when teams were really aggressive. I liked when they just stayed back.
Yeah, I like the old, like when you go back in the day going into Chicago, they would chase you all over the ice, and you like a lot of times you couldn't set up.
Nowhere to go.
No.
So that'll be, you know, as more and more teams watch the teams that have success against them, I wonder if that's something we'll see a little more frequently.
Well, the whole hockey world is giving their take on Carolina's post-game celebrations after wins. How do you feel about it?
I don't care what those guys do. They're having fun. Their organization is having fun. The fans are having fun. You guys were just in Vegas. Would that same game celebration work in Toronto? Or would people go, this kind of goof?
Yeah, it would be goofy up here.
Yeah, it's situational.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's regional.
In Vegas, right? Works great in Vegas. The thing in Carolina, on Friday night, Cammy and I were watching the tail end of the Edmonton game, and there's like 4 minutes left, and you could kind of tell it looked like it was kind of done. I'm like, we should stay to the end here, right? And she's like, yeah, I want to see what those guys are going to do. I'm like, what else does it matter? It's fun. I'm like, I don't know. We would have never done it, but who cares what we would have done? And then they come out with the T-shirts. I thought that was kind of funny too. And, you know, Who cares, man? Yeah, they're having fun. The people are in there. They're clapping. They're cheering. And I'm all for it. If they feel like doing it and it works for them, good for them.
Yeah, I agree. It's a regional thing. It wouldn't work up here. It would be laughed out of the building. Like the Leafs ownership and I think Shanahan, they'd all get involved and say, that's not us. We're an original six team. We don't do that kind of stuff. And, you know, I think it is kind of goofy. I think it's harmless. But I, as I said in the previous hour, you know, the only time people in Toronto, talking heads like myself and others up here, ever talk about Carolina, it's goofing on Carolina. So I don't think they should be concerned about our opinion about what they should be doing in their own market. Because we don't care about them.
They're 1.0, too. They're 1.0.
Exactly. It's galvanizing them, or it feels like it is.
Yeah, I look at that building, and, of course, Ole would know it best, but there's been so many times you go in there and it's quiet and there hasn't been a lot of people in there. And, you know, it's been forever since they've had a playoff series. And they've found a way to stir up some interest and some excitement and some fun. And you go to sports if you're a fan because it's fun. Otherwise, you wouldn't go. You'd spend your money and go somewhere else. So they found a way to make it fun. Good for them.
We'll leave it there. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5. We'll tee up the Leafs in St. Louis.
You betcha. Have a good one, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.